Welcome to the Property Lovers Podcast. I'm your host, Dominique Grubisher. This podcast series is all about giving you a competitive edge in your property journey. We'll be discussing little known strategies, tools, and information to help you add value and create wealth through property. Now, obviously, we don't know you or your unique position, so this is not financial or investment advice. It is information of a general nature, and you should always seek professional advice as to your situation before you ever invest in anything. But if you want to play a bigger game in property and want to use property as your vehicle to create wealth and, more importantly, freedom, then you're in the right place. Let's do this. Let's get started. In this podcast episode, we're going to look at something that perhaps you don't know, and that is other ways to structure a deal. We tend to go to lawyers and real estate agents and experts in the field that say, this is the way we do it, this is the way it's done, and this is the way that you buy and sell property. But there are lots of ways to structure a deal. And as a property entrepreneur, if you're acquiring property, the key thing that you want is to hold your money as long as possible. Because once you buy and you've sunk all your money, there are holding costs, and time is money in property. Now, there are lots of common but little known strategies as to how you can structure a deal to hold back your money and not own until the very end. In other words, until you absolutely have to. So in this podcast episode, we're going to be looking at creative ways to structure your deal like the big guys do in the property development space. So there are a few ways to do this, but the overarching principle in property is A, not to use your own money. Even billionaires like Harry Triguboff don't use their own money. He could, but part of the trick is to leverage and use other people's money wherever possible. So if this was a game, winning is using other people's money. You know how games have certain rules, like Uno is to get rid of all your cards as fast as possible. Other games like Monopoly is to go around the table and collect cards. Well, in property, especially development, construction, any sort of property deal, it is to hold and own the property for the most limited period of time, the shortest period of time. Think of the property like a hot potato, because ownership costs you a lot of money when you're using other people's money. So the idea is to keep your money in your own pocket as long as possible. Bit like we said with asset protection, own nothing, control everything. It's the same with your subject properties. You want to negotiate a lead time where you don't have to hold the property for too long. You want to be able to keep your money in your own pocket, if you've got it, rather than in someone else's. That's why when we looked at Memory's deal, and how she used a deposit bond, that was a really good deal because she's controlling a $1 million plus property with $780 that she paid for a deposit bond. Similarly, what developers will want to do is buy now and pay later. Why? Because the lead time is dead time. If I'm renovating and I can go into a property day one and start ripping things out, and that's when the clock starts, then fine. But even better if I'm renovating and I don't have to pay for it while I'm renovating, as long as I've protected my downside. So similarly, renovators will want to use the lead time to get their ducks in a row. And that means getting trades. You know, there's lead time. It's really hard to get tradies these days. And if they don't show up and your project goes over by a month, we can see with private funding, that's like $300 a day. Like, that can erode your profit pretty quickly. So your air traffic control, as a general managing your deals, it's like we looked at our funnel. Air traffic control is a funnel. You want to manage everybody to bring the plane into land and park it at the gate. So that will mean you being all over the timeframes of a deal. Now, if you can do as much as possible without hemorrhaging money before you buy, then more power to you. So there's a few ways that we will buy properties. One, and the most obvious one that we've all heard of, is just an ordinary contract for sale. So that is where I sign a contract, I agree to buy a property, and I then settle on that sale. Now, there's two important dates with a contract for sale. One is the day that I sign the contract. That's the day I agree to buy the property. For tax purposes, that is the date of purchase. But I don't actually have to part with my money, or the property doesn't get in my name. I'm not the final owner till a few weeks after that. So in some states, most states, it's 4 weeks, like WA, Queensland, usual timeframe is 4 weeks. There's no way to say 4 weeks is right or wrong. It can be longer, can't usually be much shorter because there's stuff that has to be done in that period. So if properties were just me selling to you and vice versa, it might be quicker, but there's usually multiple parties. So often you have a bank when you're selling, your bank has to discharge and get rid of your mortgage on the title. When I'm buying, I probably have a bank and my bank has to get ready and pay the money over to your bank to withdraw the mortgage, and then they're going to want to register a mortgage on title. Now, these days that all happens online, digitally, in a space called PEXA. It used to happen in person. We'd actually all meet together. I'd give the mortgagee a piece of paper, they'd give me some money, and so on and so forth. So everyone used to meet physically. We don't have to do that anymore in a digital age. So in recent years, they'll put a room or a workspace in PEXA and people will upload documents and money will change hands there. So it'll all happen virtually or digitally online. But there will be a period between when I agree to buy and we agree on our terms and when the whole transaction actually gets finalized. In New South Wales, that's going to be standard 6 weeks, but there's no real time frame. It could be like Kim and Darius. It could be 4 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years. It doesn't really matter. There's no outside time limit. And we can agree whatever terms we want. Now, in a normal contract as well, there'll be special conditions. So we can, the normal salient points are the deposit. How much are we going to put down as a deposit? In Memory's case, it was, will the seller take a deposit bond? It may be standard industry talk will be a 10% deposit, but probably a 5% deposit is acceptable in most states. In other states, Queensland and WA are more flexible. You may be able to put down, I've seen people put down $1,000 deposit, but it has to be something of value. And there are no rules around that. The other side can agree or not. They'll usually want it to hurt. So they'll want enough, like $500 when I'm buying a $1 million property. There's just not enough skin in the game. I might walk away and then they have to chase me. So they'll probably want something around the 5% mark, but it's all negotiable. The second thing that's negotiable is the settlement term. So you may want to push that out. For a reno, it needn't be that far. For a development where you've got to go through council and get plans approved or whatever, you may want a bit longer, 6 months, say. And you may want to use a deposit bond for those 6 months and not part with your money. They're the sort of things you should think about. So let's look at, there's three types of structuring or formulating of deals we're going to look at. One is a normal contract for sale and tweaking the terms to our advantage. The other is an option agreement, which is the right to buy a property, but not the obligation. So it's got a get out of jail free card. And the third one is a joint venture agreement. So both parties bringing something to the table. Joint venture is a nice one because when I said you want to own the property for the minimum amount of time, a joint venture agreement might mean that you don't have to own it at all because there's already a homeowner, they've got a property, they're bringing that to the table, you're partnering with them and you're bringing to the table maybe the funds to renovate it, or perhaps it's the skill and the business acumen to get a development over the line. And then when it sells, they'll get their 1.1 or whatever the agreed price was for the purchase, plus they'll get a profit share or something on top of that. There's no rules, no rhyme or reason. What's right is what works. So let's look at, first of all, a normal sale contract. It can happen in two circumstances. One is you go to an auction. The other is a private treaty. So that's when you're agreeing, when the agent is talking to multiple parties, accepting offers, and the seller chooses one of them. An auction is more intense. All the buyers come together in a room and they all bid against each other. And at the fall of the hammer, if they meet a reserve price, the last man standing wins the auction. Now, as Kevin explained, when you win an auction, that's unconditional. That is what it is. You own that property then. For private treaty, it may be possible to negotiate certain terms, and the certain terms may be that it's subject to a pest report or a building report, or you getting finance for the deal, or you doing your due diligence. A whole lot of things and caveats you can put in there so that during the settlement period, if you don't get your loan approved, you can say, oh, well, sorry, I'm out. Now, New South Wales, you can't do that, but New South Wales, you can do a cooling off period. And as we saw with Kim and Darius, they did a cooling off period and they extended it. It's normally 5 business days and they said, give us a couple of months or 90 days or whatever they asked for. People like that in property because it gives them downtime to get their ducks in a row. Other special conditions you can ask for are early access. So put a clause in the contract that says, let me come in. Like ideally, it's really hard to get, you may not get it, but let me renovate the property. Like if I don't have to buy it and I could go in and rip out the kitchen and do all my work while I'm not paying holding costs and actually owning the property and then finding an end buyer and doing a simultaneous settlement. In other words, they pay me, I then pay the seller the purchase price and I keep the difference. I didn't even have to own the property. No record of a sale to me and they're just the end buyer. So that's one way of doing it. Won't usually happen because the seller is going to say, well, what happens if you go broke or you walk away, you knock my house down and then I'm left with nothing. But second best thing is, can I at least have access to measure up, to get my trades through, to, especially if it's an investment property and it's empty, give us a key and I want access to the site so that day one, everyone's ready to go in and the project can start. If you need plans through council, a special condition to say that during the settlement period, you have access to the property to be able to take your town planners, your surveyors through. And because you're not the owner yet, you don't have the legal right to lodge plans in council. So you want a clause in the contract that says that the seller will sign for you, or better still, that the seller will give you a limited power of attorney to sign all council documents so that day one, when you actually own the property, you're ready to go and you've subdivided and you've done all that stuff. So there's some things to think about in terms of your special conditions. For an option contract is where developers love this. It's where you may see a property, they may say, I want $2 million. You can say, okay, well, I'll give you $2 million. Let's agree on the purchase price. In fact, let's draw up a contract for $2 million, but I'm not going to sign the contract yet. It's there. That's the contract that I'm going to agree on if I go ahead. All the terms are good, but I'm not sure if I want to go ahead yet. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to sign an option agreement. An option agreement gives me the right to buy it at any time in the future for a limited period, say a year or 2 years, for $2 million, but not the obligation. So I don't have to go ahead. So what's in it for the seller, if that's our parameters? Well, the seller has to take the property off the market. They can't sell to anyone else for that 1 year period. Why? Because I don't want to pay all the money, get the trades, get the town planner, go through council, only to find that you sold it to someone else. So I have to put my foot on it. So part of the option agreement is I have the right at any time within, say, 12 months or 2 years to buy it for $2 million. You can't sell it to anyone else then. Why would you do that as a seller? Because I'm going to pay you an option fee. So an option fee for most developers, I mean, no set rules, but usually about 1%. So I'll give you $20,000 now to take it off the market, lock in a price of $2 million, but give me 2 years to go through council, do what I have to do, decide what I want to do. Then when I've got to do a DA and I've uplifted the site and it's worth more, maybe I'll just exercise my option, sell it to someone else for $2.5 million and keep $500,000 and pay $2 million to you. So a lot of things I can do, kind of like a buy now, pay later. And the $20,000 I pay you now can come off the sale price later on. And the third option is the joint venture agreement. So that is usually where parties come together for a discrete purpose, one transaction, in this case, a property deal. And property parties have different skill sets and benefits to bring to the table. So if it's with the owner, a development agreement, they will say, well, here's the property, especially popular with downsizers. Love my house, love my block, want to stay here, but it's big and there's just me rattling around. Or there's two of us, we're empty nesters, would love somewhere new. It's big, it's old, it's so much maintenance, and it would take four townhouses. So what developers will do is they'll partner. They'll say, you put up the house, and in return, you get a brand new townhouse in the end development, and that sort of a joint venture agreement. Lots of ways you can structure it for a win-win for all the parties. The special conditions, we looked at a lot of them already. So due diligence, subject to finance, subject to due diligence, a long settlement, like 1 year, 2 years, extended cooling off, ability to go in earlier, early access, as well as the last one here, vendor finance. So vendor finance is seller finance. So what that means is the seller being able to get the funding for the deal. So seller finance is, if I don't have the money, the seller may have the money. So let's say it's $1 million. I don't have $1 million. I go to Westpac, they say, we'll lend you $700,000. I don't have the deposit. What I can do is I can say to the seller, you put in $300,000. I'll give you $700,000. They may not need the full million. They may be going to a retirement village. They may only need part of that now. So I'll give you the part you need, and you can have a second mortgage. I'll pay you interest. Downsizers like that, they're earning some cash flow during the settlement period. And that way I don't have to come up with the full purchase price. Happens all the time. Meriton do it. If you've seen Meriton Apartments, they sell their own apartments with vendor finance. They say, if you can't get finance, we'll lend you 90%. You put in 10%. We'll lend you that for 3 years. And then after 3 years, you will have some servicing history. You will have paid the mortgage to us, and we'll be the first mortgagee. Then you can refinance through the bank. You've built up some equity in the property. So lots of ways to skin a cat and creative ways to put deals together. All of this will come together in the formulation stage. If you're interested in structuring your deals better for a win-win often and for maximizing your profits as a property entrepreneur, you may want to clear your diary from the 7th to the 11th of August and register for our Zero to Hero 5-day property challenge, where we're going to explore all the strategies that we've talked about today in this podcast hands-on. We'll be doing it. It'll be live, it'll be interactive, and you'll be finding a deal, taking it through to offer or formulating phase and structuring it in a creative way, out of the box way, for a win-win outcome and to maximize your profit. So check out the link over there in the comments section and register, and I'll see you on the 7th of August. If you're enjoying this podcast, don't forget to leave us a review and follow us so that you never ever miss an episode. That's it for today, but really looking forward to giving you more tools, more strategies, more support, and a competitive advantage when it comes to property in our next episode.